We're having a bit of trouble with our loudspeaker. The library. And we'll see how much more room we have. The two ministers, if you please. Will you please come up? We're just a little bit late.
Library and ask, Lord, that we may use it to bring honor and glory to thy name. We thank thee for the people who are assembled here this day and ask a blessing upon each one of them. And Lord, as a community, may we realize that God is on the throne. And Lord, that Jesus Christ died for our sins, that we must accept him as such. And Lord, we'd ask as we work together, Lord, that we labor together that souls might be one unto thee. And Lord, that thy kingdom be built up. So Lord, we'd ask thy blessing upon this thy servant. It's in thy name that we do pray. Amen.
The president of the best-known village in the state of Wisconsin, the president of our village of Wild Rose, who will give us an address of welcome. David W. Clayton.
Chairman Williams, honored guests, ladies and gentlemen, as representative of the village and the library board, it is my pleasant duty and task to welcome you here to this dedication of the Patterson Memorial Library. As you know, we were too eager to put this building to good use to wait for too many formalities. So rather than a grand opening, as of today, we're having a formal dedication of a going institution. We believe very sincerely that this is a very important and vital step in the history of our village. It ranks in importance in the same category as a dedication of our churches and of our schools in the spiritual and the cultural life of our community. The last 12 or 15 months have been very important and very exciting in this little village of ours. We have seen many new things happening. A new industry has been brought into our community, and we are just now starting to feel the many important benefits that we are going to realize from it. We have had favorable and wide publicity, state and nationwide, on our Rose campaign. We are to be honored at the state fair in a few days, having been chosen from hundreds of other communities for the things that we were fortunate and able to accomplish in the past year or two. Our local projects, our tennis courts, our skating rink are well on their way, and there are several other projects in the making. We're proud of all these, and in addition to this, we are particularly proud of this, our new library. The other speakers who will follow will tell you more about the methods and the mechanics and the things that went into making this all come about. I will only say that we're very proud and happy over what has taken place, and welcome you again to this gathering today, and especially welcome you to come and use this library, which was built especially for you.
Welcome from the president of our village. And now I am supposed to recognize some of our guests, and I am happy to do so. On our platform we have with us Miss S. Janice Key, Secretary of Wisconsin Library Commission, who also is our guest speaker for this afternoon. Miss Key, will you take a bow, please? And she has brought with us, with her, Miss Elizabeth Burr, children and young people. This isn't my handwriting, so I have to look at it very carefully. Specialist, oh yes, we like specialists. May we see Miss Burr, please? And also Miss Dorothy Norton. Is she a specialist?
Yes.
Well, we're happy to have her too. Miss Norton, may we see you, please? And at this time, it is my pleasure to ask the principal of our school to come up to the platform. Sir Harvey, can they get along without you at that machine?
At this time, I'd like to introduce someone who I know is better known to you, perhaps, than I, and that is one of our past principals who is now superintendent of the schools at Marinette, Wisconsin. So at this time, I'd like to ask Mr. William Godson to step forward to the platform, please. I would just like to say a word or two while I'm up here. One of the ladies, as soon as I got home from my trip to the West, was waiting at my door with some instructions for the planning of this library dedication, which I was very happy to hear about. And she asked me if I might say something. And my words will be brief, but they are these. I once had the honor of having Mr. Fitzpatrick, who I believe you all know very well, and I believe you do, Mr. Godson, of the principal of the Washoe County Normal in the previous years. He spoke here one day at an Armistice Day program that we had in our local gym, and he said to me at that time, he said, you know, Mr. Harvey, he says, Wild Rose has something peculiar about it. He said, I believe that Wild Rose is the intellectual center of Washoe County. Well, now I sort of hesitated when I heard him say that, but I believe that today such a thing as this wouldn't be taking place if this was not the intellectual center of Washoe County. I just want to, from the standpoint of the educational institution of our village, on behalf of the school board, and the teachers, and myself, thank the library board and the village board for dedicating such a fine library and such a fine memorial to the people that have asked to have a library in Wild Rose. I also want to leave you with this thought in mind as I turn the program over to Mr. Godson. Learning never stops. Therefore, I believe we should never stop reading. So again, I'd like to thank the village, the library board, and at this time I'd like to introduce Mr. Godson. Mr. Godson?
Ladies and gentlemen, I didn't expect to say one word down here. I didn't even put on a coat, you know, to look the part. I came down for the express privilege of enjoying myself and enjoying this occasion with you people. I went inside this building and I marvel at the usefulness that it can be put. I couldn't help think as I was standing in there how when the library was started, just a few books and placed to put a few books, and we were working for cabinets and a lot of things that happened and didn't happen. I always think too, whenever a new library project is started, about half the things that you received are good and about half the things that you receive are no good, and you don't know what to do with them. And I remember many sad faces sometimes when a whole truckload of books would come in, many that couldn't even be used, but they were all sorted out, and I'm sure now you have a growing institution, and it takes all of that. I want to congratulate this community for continuing this library project, and I hope that it will grow to the extent that you'll not only serve the village, but as I saw on the bulletin board in there, that you will have a bookmobile situation in which you can serve a lot of this community and the people who can't get here. Because like the University of Wisconsin, if this village is the center, you will have to, in time, spread out to the extent where you can serve the whole community for miles around. May I again congratulate you. And many times when things are not going right in my job, as they do in everyone's, I almost look back in the Argus and see how some project has started in the village here and how all of the people got behind it, and of course remind a few of my friends and some of my enemies that there are places in Wisconsin where the people do things and they don't always have to get it out of the tax dollar. Congratulations again, and thank you for the privilege of saying a word or two.
We appreciate those words from one who knows so well. I think if he had anything different to tell about us, he would have told us, but very honest fellow. I'm supposed now to show you our village board. They have been so very cooperative in this work. They have come to our rescue when we needed help, and they have given us some money to finish the
building and so forth, and we'd like to see all the members of the village board who are present. Will you please stand? Give them a good hand. And then I would like to find how many of the men who worked on this building are here this afternoon. We were hoping to find the architect and the carpenters and the plumbers and the heating men and all the rest of them. How many of them are here? Will you please stand? If you are standing, put up your hand so we know you. Any of you back here? Oh, yes, some of you back here. Well, it took a few more than that to build King Solomon's temple. But I'm reminded of the fact that at the building of King Solomon's temple, they had one man whom they called Hiram, whose business was to supervise the work, kind of a business manager. And being a group of very intelligent people, as you have heard from Mr. Gotson, we appointed our Hiram. And I think that he deserves special attention. I refer to Mr. I.W. Law. I can't see you back there, I think. He did the work of okaying the bills and took care of all the detail for us, and that was certainly a very great help. And at this time, I think that you should get a glimpse of the building committee. There were seven of us, I think. Is that committee here? How many of us are here? Oh, you better stand. They can see you.
These men in the background need to stand, too.
I'd like to see you in the front so that people can recognize you. Leo, you were here. Oh, not the building committee. You were among the other group. That's right. All right, how many of the building committee are present? One, two, three, four, five. Two missing. Well, give us a good hand anyhow. And then we have the library trustees. Will you stand, please? Thank you. We feel so well treated now after that hand you gave us. And we're ready to listen to a very important part of this service, the history of this library from its very beginning. This is to be given by Mrs. G.M. Dopp, who has done more than anyone else on this Board of Trustees in gathering the facts and in keeping them together and in preparing them for this important occasion. Mrs. Dopp.
Thank you, Reverend Williams. I think you might say, except all the other members of the Board of Trustees. This is a great day. It is the culmination of a 47-year dream. In 1910, when the Women's Club was organized in Wild Rose, that little band of 13 women made a resolve that someday, when the day was ripe, they would do everything in their power to bring a library to Wild Rose. That day came 20 years later. It was during the Depression, when there were very few other forms of recreation, that a renaissance in reading developed. We were fortunate that at that time to have Reverend W.T. Williams as president of the PTA. He influenced its members to start a reading room. When the Women's Club heard that, they joined forces with the PTA, and together they gathered books, cataloged them, raised funds, and in 1930 opened the doors of the community library to the reading public. The early committees that are listed in the minute book are Dr. B.B. Fisher, Mrs. Julia Stevens, Mrs. Stella Evans, Bertha Darling, Dan Davis, Reverend Flynn, Reverend Gardner. Many other people gave of their services. A library board was elected, with Mrs. Hoagland the first president, or the first librarian, Mr. Godson, whom you just heard, as the first treasurer, Mrs. Patterson, and three who still serve. Reverend Williams has been president all these years, Mrs. Frank Dopp, and Mrs. George Dopp as secretary. From the beginning, the library asked for community-wide support, and it gave community-wide service. The PTA for many years gave of its lunch money to support the library. Mrs. Darling's music pupils gave recitals. Probably you were there. There were bake sales, donation suppers, and some of you perhaps went to hear to see the play, The Old District School, up in Patterson's Hall, with standing room only. It is very amusing. Reverend Flynn, I remember, and his wife had a lot to do with that. You remember it too, Mrs. Godson, don't you? The Women's Club has supported it all through the years, regularly and conscientiously and generously, always hoping that someday there would be a separate, adequate building to house the then 3,000 volumes. Then the library board decided that they were going to put on a series of 12 silent movies. We really got some good ones from the Department of Visual Education of the university. There were 12 of them, and we charged 5 and 10 cents admission and had the movies in the old Nedekin building. At the end of the season, when we got through with the movies, we counted our nickels and dimes and had $81.14 clear. Very optimistically and hopefully, we put $75 of this amount in a savings account, the beginning of a building fund. That was in 1934. The programs you hold in your hands today, as we didn't need the money for the building fund, were printed with that box office money. So appreciate them. They were hard earned. In 1934, the library was made a beneficiary in a trust fund left by the late Dr. Catherine Dopp, who specified that the interest from the fund should be used for buying new books. In that year, David Clayton was elected treasurer to replace Mr. Godson, who had moved from Wild Rose. In 1946, Mrs. Frank Dopp was elected vice president, and Mrs. Everett Wilcox was elected to the Board of Trustees. Then suddenly, within a period of 16 days, the library lost two of its most faithful workers, Mrs. Anna Hoagland, who had been librarian for 24 years, died in Wild Rose on February 4, 1954. And on February 20th, Mrs. Catherine Patterson died in Cocoa, Florida, leaving the village $10,000 for the building of the Patterson Memorial Library. And she also left us a statue, which she had always kept in her living room, by Moreau, to be part of the library furnishings. Both of these women were charter members of the Board of Trustees of the library, and as charter members of the Women's Club, had shared from its inception the library dream. Mrs. Patterson had visualized the building on this lot, which had been given to the village at the time it was platted by the late Frank Clark. As far as possible, local people were employed and local businesses patronized in the building of this building. It was broadcast on the water, for these local people have given of themselves and the materials in a way that is heartwarming to remember. Their generosity and the careful planning of this hardworking building committee made it possible to complete the building with the $10,000 left by Mrs. Patterson and the $3,500 which was given us by a very helpful and far-sighted village board. Before deciding on the furnishings for the building committee visited several other newly completed libraries and accepted the generous offer by the Hunt Supply Company of Wautoma. It was a beautiful new building, and we wanted to furnish it with new furniture. But our money was growing low. Our funds were almost gone. So in desperation, we decided to send a letter, a boxholder letter, to the people of Wild Rose, telling them what we needed. When I remember how long it took to decide to spend that $9.74 for postage, I am ashamed at our lack of faith. For the people of Wild Rose, with characteristic loyalty and enthusiasm, came forward as they always do, and gifts began to pour in. Volunteer labor, memorial funds, discounts on materials, magazine subscriptions, and money for furnishings and landscaping. Topsoil for the lawn to a total of over $3,000 from just that $9.74 in postage. On January 9th of this year, the Campfire Girls, Bluebirds, and Boy Scouts with armloads of books moved the library from its old home to its new. There was a long procession. It was a cold, bitter day, and small hands grew numb with cold, but the procession continued until every book was on the new shelving. In the procession were two little six-year-old girls. They were challenged by the older children as to their right to carry books. And one little girl said, "I can too carry books. My sister's a campfire girl." And the other little girl said, "I can too. My mama's a trustee." So with their sleds, they carried books too. On February 10th, the Women's Club gave a silver tea for the benefit of the Anna Hoagland Memorial Fund, which the Women's Club had started at the time of Mrs. Hoagland's death. And things have been progressing ever since. Mrs. Robert Robinson Williams started a story hour for children. Margaret Brownlow assisted the librarian in keeping the library open one noon hour a week, in addition to the other hours, for the benefit of the rural children in the school. 600 gift books have been added. When the circulation in most small libraries, as these state consultants can testify, has been on a downward spiral, the local circulation of books tripled in January and has maintained that increase each month since. During this period of growth and reorganization, we are very fortunate to have had the continued service of Reverend W.T. Williams as chairman of the building committee. He has worked very hard. And we are fortunate, too, to have had the new service of Mrs. Claude Clark, who brought experience from the libraries in Ladysmith and Milwaukee to her position as librarian of the Patterson Memorial Library. There is another person to whom the people of Wild Rose owe a deep debt of gratitude. That is to Mrs. Anna Hoagland. Her work in the library was more than a job. It was a public service. It was her life. Although she longed for a new library, she made the best use of existing crowded conditions and was grateful. Her devotion to duty was a beautiful thing. When more robust people sheltered themselves in the quiet and comfort of their own homes during periods of inclement weather, Mrs. Hoagland ignored her physical frailty, walked to and from the library, forgetting herself and finding herself in her work. We who follow after have been completely inspired in making this building with her in mind. But today we come to pay tribute to another charter member of the Women's Club and charter member of the Board of Trustees, Mrs. Catherine Patterson. It is said that no great thing was ever accomplished without enthusiasm. and enthusiasm was the very essence of Mrs. Patterson's nature. She greeted each day, each task, each relationship with enthusiasm. When the library was established in 1930, she brought many volumes from her own fine library to help with a number of books, and she took her car and went from house to house gathering other volumes. As a charter member of the Board of Trustees, she helped guide its policies. In her death, she has continued her lifelong interest in the library by giving to us and to those who follow after us this fine building. Her friends accepted the building of her library as a personal trust, trying to make it in her memory as beautiful as she would have wanted it to be. To Mrs. Patterson and to the countless other people who through the years have worked toward this day, we are grateful. Each brought his own talents and abilities, each his own special gift, each his love of Wild Rose and its people. Each one, in giving of himself, built more than a building. He built a cultural center where the accumulated wisdom of the race is available to everyone who can read. We who follow after Frost, we work together, whether we work together or apart.
Thank you, Mrs. Stopp, for that wonderful report. Now we will have another talk or report by Mrs. Wilcox. In Appreciation, I think, is the title of her talk. Can you get here, Mrs. Wilcox?
Ladies and gentlemen, we of the community would like to say thank you to the Board of Trustees, Reverend Williams, Mrs. George Dopp, Mrs. Frank Dopp, and David Clayton. They have worked with the library through all its early struggles, and they have worked hard recently to carry out the spirit as well as the letter of Catherine Patterson's will. They had the vision and the courage to turn to the people of the community to complete a fine library when time and the accompanying inflation decimated Catherine Patterson's will legacy. As you look about this building and you listen to the history of its growth, you can appreciate how well justified was Catherine's trust in her friends. We would like to say a very special thank you to Reverend Williams. He has given his leadership in this work for 27 long years. He has hoped and planned and worked faithfully so that we in our community might have a day like this, a day when we can dedicate this attractive building with its ever-increasing treasure of good books. We are grateful to him for his work, and we are very happy that he is with us today for this dedication. We would like to say thank you to Mrs. George Dopp. Her organizing ability, her judgment and good taste are incorporated throughout this wonderful building. And we would like to say thank you to Mrs. Frank Dopp. We are indebted to her for more than a generation of effort in stimulating interest in and providing books for worthwhile reading. And a thank you to David Clayton, who has given a great deal of time in his competent, good-natured way. He has carried the dual responsibility of representing the village board and the library trustees on the building committee. We would like to say thank you to all of you for your gifts of material and labor. And thank you to you who were employed in this construction of this building. Though you were received payment, you have given us much more than our dollars worth in value. Hyatt, in his book, Man's Unconquerable Mind, says, and I quote, "Every library is an assertion of man's durable trust in intelligence as a protection against irrationalism, force, time, and death. A town or church or school without an adequate collection of books is only half alive, unquote. Our community of Wild Rose is very much alive. To carry out successfully a number of projects ordinarily beyond the capacity of a village of 500. Our big resource is the good quality of the goodwill among our people. I hope that our village always keeps that unique measure of goodwill, so that always, whatever our community need may be, we will come forward as individuals from out our good American heritage of different religious backgrounds, various political views, and numerous nationalities to hammer out a solution by that same precious goodwill that was given in the building of this library.
And now we will be favored with a number by a double male quartet, I think leader Mr. Robert Jones.
Who is leader?
Voices are great.
Now it is my pleasure to call upon the main speaker of this afternoon, Ms. Key, who is Secretary of the Wisconsin Library Commission. It is a privilege for us to have Ms. Key with us, and I am sure that we are looking forward to receiving a message that will inspire us to do better work even than we have been trying to do in the past. Ms. Key comes, I believe, from Texas, where they grow tall and handsome.
Mr. Williams and ladies and gentlemen, tall, yes. I don't know about handsome. It was about a year ago that I came to Wisconsin to head the Wisconsin Free Library Commission. And I remember that in those days, about a year ago, your building was under construction, and we were hearing a great deal about it and all of the wonderful things about the Village of Wild Rose from your friend and ours, Hannah Smith. I'm sorry Mr. Smith can't be here today to share in the activities of this day, because he was most enthusiastic about what was happening in Wild Rose. Now, you must realize that at that time, Wild Rose was a dot on the map as far as I was concerned. But today, it has come alive for me. It's not only a very lovely village in a very beautiful part of Wisconsin, but it's also people. And I think that had I not heard this account by Mrs. Dopp of the progress made here in bringing this day into being, I think that I would have learned a lot about Wild Rose just by this program. Certainly, you are to be commended upon many, many things today, a dedication of purpose on the part of the women. And this is typical of American villages, dedication to purpose by women. This started this library, and then a falling into line by government and by men and by clergymen and by educators and by all the people who realize what a good, free public library can mean to the community. You have greatly honored the commission by inviting us to share in this day with you. It is certainly, as you have pointed out, and as we can all see, a significant day. On behalf of the Wisconsin Free Library Commission, which is a body of seven members, and of which Mrs. Jean Willen of La Crosse is chairman, and the staff, those of us who are here and those of the staff who could not come, and our past staff member who is now carrying on his good work in Minnesota, we want to extend our congratulations to the Village of Wild Rose upon reaching this milestone in library development. Now, I know all of you have heard of a man named Andrew Carnegie. He lived in America from about 1835 until about 1919, I think. And Andrew Carnegie came from Scotland. He was a poor man when he came to America, but he became one of America's wealthiest industrialists and philanthropists. He recognized that America needed steel, and so he concentrated on steel production. But at the same time, he was not an educated man, and he realized something else, too, about America. He recognized that we needed a community center where men like Carnegie could continue their education. And so he did a great deal in America to promote the American Free Public Library. In fact, he made it possible for about 28 communities in the United States
to have public library buildings. Now, 63 of these buildings are in Wisconsin. The last grant made by the Carnegie Corporation for buildings was in 1917. We don't have philanthropists the like of Andrew Carnegie anymore. And so maybe this is good and maybe it isn't. But I think you and Wal Rose have demonstrated that you didn't need an Andrew Carnegie. You did this with your own community spirit, out of your own community loyalty, and for this, I offer my commendation. The thing that motivated Andrew Carnegie, I'm sure, is the same thing that motivated you people, and that was, and I take a quote from some of his writings. He said, "There is no insurance of nations so cheap as the enlightenment of people." And it was his intention that a free public library would be just that in a community, a source of enlightenment, a source of continuing education, a place where every man, woman, and child can find the kinds of information, the kinds of inspiration, and the kinds of help that a library is able to offer. Now, this building should be a symbol of library service. This building is beautiful, beautiful inside and beautiful outside. It's easily accessible, it's well located, it's clearly identified, it's well marked, it's comfortable, it's expandable, it's efficient. It is a fine building for the village of Wild Rose. It offers, I think, a compelling invitation to come in, to read, to listen, to look, to learn. But I think that we must remember that a library is not a building, but a library is a service organization. A library does many things. It collects materials, it organizes materials, it interprets materials, it gives guidance in the use of materials, and it helps us find ways to find the kinds of things that we think we ought to find in a public library. It assists individuals and it assists groups. And so it's what's in the library to a great extent that makes it a library. I think that you have, as I have said, made a remarkable first step in bringing to the people of Wild Rose the kind of library service that I am sure was the ambition of the people who have contributed so much bringing of this building to completion. But we will have to examine as we go along whether or not we have done enough. Can we expect that people of this community and of this area can come into this building and find the materials that will help them do at least these 9 things? Educate themselves continuously and keep pace with progress in all fields of knowledge and become better members of the home and the community. To discharge political and social obligations, to be more capable in their daily occupations, to develop their creative and spiritual capacities, to appreciate and enjoy works of art and literature, to make such use of leisure time as will promote personal and social well-beings, and to contribute to the growth of knowledge. These are the purposes and functions of a free public library, and I think that you are well on your way to having just that. We of the Library Commission are interested, of course, in giving you whatever kinds of service we are prepared to give you, not only loan of books, but consultant service and other services. And we are interested now in working with you on what has been mentioned here earlier as the possibility of developing a larger unit of library service in which you can make this building become even more meaningful than it is today. So I want to say again that we are very, very happy to be here and happy to know Wild Rose and to meet Wild Rose people and to even have a Wild Rose on our lapel. And say again that if there is any way in which the Library Commission can be of further service to you, please do not hesitate to call upon us. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Miss Keene. And now the choir will favor us with another number. President, a few weeks ago, it was my pleasure to visit a memorial to a very prominent man in the city of Madison. A man who lived to make better wieners and bacon and sausages and hams and so forth. A man whose name is known the world over. And as I sat in the car watching that beautiful fountain, some of you may have seen it, with water bubbling continuously day and night, and with lights so arranged that you have practically every color in the rainbow. Sometimes it comes out red, other time it's yellow, or it may be pink. It's a beautiful memorial to a man who spent his entire life making better food, healthier, more wholesome food for men and women, boys and girls. As I thought of that memorial and of this memorial, this library, given to us by one who dreamt of making possible better food for the mind, for the heart, and for the soul of men and women, boys and girls, in the village of Wild Rose and in this community. I have no deed to present to the village, no abstract, no legal document of any kind, but I do have the key which opens the door of this fountain of wisdom, of good reading. There are books of every kind and shape, some tall books, some short books, some fat books, some thin books, some funny books and some serious books, all kinds of books. And this key opens the front door of that building. Let us call it a fountain of wisdom, of something that will help to make us wiser than we are, and possibly to give us a further vision into the future and our responsibility. And therefore, on behalf of the trustees of the Patterson Memorial Library, it is my pleasure to present this key to you and through you to the village of Wild Rose.
Reverend Williams, on behalf of the village board, I'm sure I speak for all of them when I say that we accept this emblem of the trusteeship of this Patterson Memorial Library. I'm sure that we realize that as we accept this, we're taking the responsibility of maintaining the fine type of library service that this fine building would merit. I'm sure that I speak for the entire board as I say
heart to make a small or a large donation towards buying more books or for any other purpose connected with this library, don't be afraid to offend us. I want to thank the people who prepared the stage for us, the girls who decorated it, and Leo, who got it down here, I don't know how. And all of you who have taken part in making this program possible, this afternoon, and I certainly thank God for the beautiful weather. Don't you think we ought to? We were so afraid of rain. We had rain in New Lisbon. But God is good to people who live right, you see. Don't tell New Lisbon people that I said. Don't carry that message home, New Lisbon people. Thank you all. And make use of your library. And now we will stand and join in singing God Bless America. And after the singing, the Reverend Patrick Green, student pastor of our Methodist Church, will give the closing prayer.
America, land that I love, stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above, from the mountains to the valleys, to the ocean white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home.
And now may Jesus Christ dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.